Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show, hosted by author, investor, money partner, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, this is Bruce Norris. Thanks again for joining us. Today again, we're with Tony Alvarez. He's an appraiser, a residential rehabber, property manager, and creator of the Path of Least Resistance, How I Went from Bankruptcy to $10 Million in 7 Years Just Making Friends. Tony, once again, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Bruce.
We had just talked about this transition where you went from successful real estate mogul to bankruptcy to pizza maker to buying some residential real estate once again by developing relationships.
Right.
Okay. Probably the busiest person in a downturn is the REO agent taking phone calls from wannabe investors that want first crack at the great inventory.
Right.
Why did they choose you ultimately to be the number one guy?
Okay, I'm going to go first of all to the heart of that.
Okay.
Okay, the heart of that answer. And the word is love. Okay.
You'll have to explain that.
Yes, I will, because I'm not talking about romantic love now. But, and this, by the way, I've learned because I've gone on to study it. That runs through any successful long-term relationship connected to anyone in this country or anyone else, anywhere else for that matter, that has experienced any kind of mega success, what I call mega success, financial or otherwise. It's the love of the people that you need to work with you, that end up deciding to work with you. They get to the point where they want to work with you more than anyone else. And that's a love relationship that develops, and it's a symbiotic relationship. You know, I mean, it flows between both of you. I had to really sit down and figure out how am I going to get guys that don't know me, and I say guys, I mean men and women, to work with me, that really need me, and I know they need me, but you can't walk into that relationship saying, hey, I'm an investor and I'm going to make your life easy and I'm going to buy all this stuff from you.
Because that's what everyone else says.
That's what everyone else. And I've learned over the years because I've become really close. I mean, I'm practically family with the agents that I work with. And when I say that, I mean it in the best of ways. They confide in me about things that bother them. I do the same thing with them. We've forged solid friendships. Now, I think I coined this term business friendships because it goes beyond business relationships. If you don't consider your business associates to be your friends, you're at a huge disadvantage. And quite frankly, you're out of a new paradigm. I believe that is in fact a new paradigm in the business world.
Let me interject here. That connection that goes deeper than just the business relationship side and get to friendship, does that sometimes give you an inside peek into the world that they have to cope with? Are they more willing to share with you? You know, sort of, do you realize that on the other side of this coin, this is what's going on?
Yes. Yeah. Well, that door opens, and I have to tell you, that if that door opens an inch, it's opened completely.
Because it's never opened.
No,
period,
no, it's not.
For most people.
Exactly.
Right.
Most investors deal with these agents on talking about the performance side of the business, and by that I mean the numbers.
The numbers. You know,
what's the price of the deal? How much profit can they make? How many more deals you got coming? How fast did you sell my other listing? Because one of the things that I do, and that if you're a smart investor, you will also do in working with these agents, is always be generous to them. By that I mean pay them more commissions than they would normally get from anyone else. Consider them almost without doing it. They're almost a partner with you. Pay them more on the commissions. Never be cheap. This is not a relationship where you want to be penny pinching or thinking about a zero sum gain. You know, always be concerned about what can I do to make them love me more and make them understand that I adore them. Now, I list every property back with every agent that ever gave me the deal, meaning they bring me 25 listings. If I decide to keep those 25 homes for 10 years, when I get ready to sell them, I'm going to go look for that agent, which I don't have to look too far because they're right in my mobile phone telephone. You know, I mean, in my cell phone. These guys are mobile phone. I'm dating myself. That's when the phones were like a lunchbox, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, these are close friends. I know their kids' birthdays. I attend their, you know, whether it's bar mitzvah or party or whatever it is, I'm there, you know.
Now, that's very unusual.
Well,
I mean, because the REO business has been around for 8 years in California, and you still have relationships where most of us have said, we'll see in about a decade.
Yeah, I just bought a – I was just telling you, I just bought a little house this past week where I was attending a night class for, I don't know, one of those adult things. And I got a call from an agent telling me, and she left me the message on my phone, on my cell phone, saying, I got a house that's coming. You know, it wasn't a foreclosure. It wasn't a probate. I'm listing this house. It's not on the MLS yet. And it's the perfect, and it's the phone call that I tell all the investors that you're waiting for, you know. And if you stay long enough in this business, you always get to these phone calls. You know, I haven't listed this house in the MLS yet. It's a fixer. And it's funny the way she said it to me because I haven't spoken to her for like a couple of, about 6 months. She said, and it's, you know, it's perfect for a contractor. And then she stops and goes, well, you're not a contractor, are you? Well, yeah, but it's some of the stuff that you do, you know. Well, anyways, I bought that house. It's about a $220,000 retail home, and I paid $130,000 for it. And basically, it wasn't a negotiating thing or anything. She calls me. She said, Tony, what's your number? I said, you know, this is what I can do. I ended up paying $135,000. I went up $5,000 more. But it was the easiest. I mean, I didn't break a sweat. I didn't have to do anything. I wasn't going after anybody, you know, trying to convince them that I'm the thing. These are relationships. She comes to me because in her mind, I am the path of least resistance for her.
Right.
I am the most trusting person. And if for some reason I look at that house and I'm not going to want to do the deal, I am going to give her that information as quickly as I possibly can do it in a respectful manner. And if I can hand her off to some other guy who I think might do a better job than I, once I establish I'm not interested, that's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to hand her off to somebody who's going to cause her a problem. You know, that's your doctor. That's your clergyman. That's your wife or your husband. That's the person that you trust the most in your life. When you get beyond the first level of relationships in your family, the most trusted people, that's the next rung is where I want to be. Now, I don't want to be there because I want to manipulate your actions. I want to be there because it makes me feel that my life as I'm living it, I'm making a lot of money, yes, but I'm having a great time, and I'm you know, I can't imagine what it's going to be like when I have to leave this great place that we live in. Because this year I told these agents, or actually last year, I said, you know, I'm done. Look at all the money you guys made me. You know, I mean, and the look on their face was, what the heck are you talking about?
They don't want to have to do that again with someone else.
No, they don't want to let you go. You know, they're like, that's like a family member who all of a sudden, who you're used to seeing every day and who makes your life wonderful. And they're saying, okay, I'm moving to Africa or something, or I'm moving to India. I've decided to change my life and I'm not going to be around. You miss those people. You don't want to see them go. Yes, they're important to you business-wise because they affect your bottom line. And quite frankly, I have complete confidence that I have made their lives heaven. Mm-hmm. I never once lied to them about anything. I never made any complicated issues. You speak to these agents and you tell them, what are your biggest fears? And as you know, I've interviewed them. They were gracious enough to allow me this year to let me into their world, so to speak. And I got a chance to interview them for an hour and 15 minutes.
On video, no less.
Yeah, on video. And they gave me permission to do that.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and they came out and I said, you know, what are your biggest fears? That's a tough question. I want you to know, when you ask a grown man or grown woman, you know, who's one of these agents controls millions and millions of dollars in inventory, what are you afraid of? And they say, you know what I'm afraid of?
Now, the truth of that question, are the answers that are truthful, do they come right out, or you have to massage those for, you know, in a few minutes or an hour or whatever?
Well, I tell you what, I interviewed I had three of them out of five agents in my area that control inventory. I work consistently with three, which is more than enough. Any one of those will make you filthy rich. It took an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and 20 minutes of that interview to get to about 15 minutes of really, you know, the conversation you'd have. I mean, they started out with being sitting up straight in their chair and their ties are tight and they're, well, you know, Tony.
The Book of Hoyle answered.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then by the time the interview's done, and quite frankly, you know, they're a little worn out. They're sitting back in their chair. The tie is gone. Their feet, they're banging the pencil on the desk. And they're going, well, you know, the truth is, what do I dread? I dread the phone call that I answer in my office and I hear, hi, I'm an investor. I'm looking for foreclosure deals, and I'm going to make your life easy. And they call that the I word.
What's so funny is you are an investor looking for foreclosure deals, and yet you've somehow risen above the crowd, and they view you as different.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the cause of that transition? Because it's just very interesting.
The cause of that transition, and I've tried to put my finger on it, there are a lot of things, okay, Bruce? There are a lot. As you know, if I, in the performance side of the business, if I didn't perform, if I didn't get back to them immediately, if I didn't, and I mean immediately, if I didn't respect their time, if I didn't respect their knowledge, if they give me a tip on how to sell a piece of property, and I don't agree with that, I have to be very careful as to how I present my case. I just can't say to them, hey, you know what? I'm the investor. You're the agent. You're basically working for me. This is the price I want to list it at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's disrespectful. And you look, and that's suicide. Now, I have won relationships because I've walked in to speak to an agent in a moment in time where he was having a disagreement with another investor, a guy who he's been working with for years, because that investor was treating him with disrespect at the moment. And in that second, when I got in there, he lets me into his world, and he looks up at me and he says, you know, I don't know why I deal with investors, Tony. Now, I'm an investor, just like you said.
Right. You're now hovering over the group. Yeah.
Yes, he doesn't see that. That relationship is built.
I think he recognizes that you care.
Have to care.
Right.
I have to. One of the things that I say is you must learn to care about your business associates as much as you do your own successes. If you don't care about their successes as much as yours, you are throwing yourself on the heap of all those other people who are only interested. They're calling up with their own selfish motives. You know, I want to make money. Well, of course you're in business to make a profit.
Right.
I mean, what the heck are we talking about? But how you get to that end.
Yes.
You know, what you decide, the person you decide to be, as you're getting to that end, you're either got your arm around another guy who's got the same family, he's got the same concerns, he wants the same things for his life as you, and you understand that, or you're standing on the other side of the table from him saying, I've got to do this, and you know, and this is why, you know, I'm going to be the best thing for you. And you know, you can tell somebody you love them, or you could show them. Most of the time, people are telling you why they're the best thing for you. Well, you know as well as I do, the first time you go, you ever been out to buy a car or buy anything, and the guy goes, don't worry about anything. I got your back here. You know, I'll take care of everything. You know, the minute I hear somebody tell me not to worry, I'm worrying already.
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't walk into these places telling them, hey, I'm the answer to all your problems. What I did was I took a series of steps based on the way I would want to be treated. You have to understand more than anything else, these agents are professional agents. They're not your typical residential mom-and-pop part-time agent. These are pros.
Right.
These are people that live and die by their relationships with banks. And if you don't know what it is to deal with a bank doesn't have any heart, basically. It's a large corporation, and they need to make decisions, and they need to make them quickly. And regardless of what you're hearing nowadays about how, you know, everybody, they're trying to figure out a way to solve all these problems and foreclosures, the way that they end up solving them is they get down to what's quickest and easiest for them. They go from no decision, you know, to panic, and then they start cutting, and it all has to do with numbers. These guys, their relationships with these banks rely on the fact that the banks look at them and go, okay, we need you. It's a question of liability. The banks can sell REOs and stuff directly.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is, working with an agent gets a lot of problems off their back.
Correct.
They have somebody that they can blame.
Mm-hmm.
These agents now have to turn around, and they're looking for somebody to get this problem off of them. This is the equivalent of, I hate to use this analogy, but it's like having waking up one morning, you go out to get the paper in your front lawn, and you have a dead animal there. You have like a dead horse that's just leaning across your lawn. Oh, is this something you want to keep around? Or are you looking for the guy who picks up dead horses or something? You know, I mean, so you want to get rid of this little animal thing, you know, off your lawn, because you can't do anything with it. And that's basically how they look at a non-performing asset. They need to move it, and they want it off their books, and they want it away from them as fast as they can, because the stigma that comes along with that is destructive. They got an agent. An agent is the equivalent of the guy who picks up the little animal.
Right, but he's got to put it somewhere, too.
He's got to put it somewhere. You know, he's got to get it off to the soap factory or whatever. I hate to say that because I love horses, but, you know, you got to move it on to somebody. Now, we are at the end of that chain, so to speak,
right,
because we solve problems for them.
Right.
Your ability to understand to what degree you solve those problems is the equivalent of how quickly you will get to that position where you become that number one phone call. You need to understand your value in that whole chain of events.
So you're almost a partner in the solution, and the realtor that ultimately deals with you and sends you inventory is viewing you that way. a partner, not just a guy that that's trying to make money. You're really a team partner, so he looks good too.
Yeah, well, he's getting 100,000 phone calls, and that's an exaggeration, but he's getting, let's say, 10 phone calls of either experienced investors or wannabe investors, in every variation thereof. But okay, what can you say that's any different to this guy on the phone? Hi, I'm an investor. Hi, I'm going to solve your problems. Hi, I've got $10 million. I can send you a copy of my bank statement to prove it. Hi, and here's the thing. All of those things are to some degree or other important.
Yes.
If you have a history behind you, that's important. If you can convey that to him in a respectful manner, not boasting about it. Yes, you have money in the bank. You may well have $10 million in the bank. And if you show him that, that may, set his ease.
I guess we're talking about tiebreakers.
Yeah, but
that's performance.
Yes, performance. That's all about performance.
Right. So,
but there's something. Think about this. You put yourself in the shoes of that agent. If he makes one bad decision, meaning if he gets himself into escrow with some guy who's an investor who's only interested in his own wallet, that investor is only interested in his own bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets into escrow. He ties up the property. Have you ever been to a seminar or read in a book where they say to you, they're teaching you about real estate, and they go, hey, just tie up the deal.
And or assignee.
Sure, and or assignee. Or just tie it up because you've got 15 days or whatever it is to go out and inspect the property. And then if you don't like it, just cancel the deal.
Mm-hmm.
I have never made an offer on a property that I didn't want to buy. I have never made an offer with a professional agent where I didn't close the escrow. And I'm talking about make the offer, close the escrow, not make the offer and then decide whether I'm going to close it.
Right.
You know what that does for my credibility? When an agent calls me and says, Tony, I got a deal, and I call him on the phone and I say, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when I haven't even had to sign that contract, in all honesty,
right,
because my relationship with them is so tight that if I'm in Oregon fishing salmon and they call me and say, hey, I got five deals coming down the line, I say, Don, are they my deals? He goes, I'm only calling you because they're right over the plate for you.
Right.
Sign them. Now, in order for that kind of relationship to occur, you got to have some things happening there,
sure,
that are based on, I said to you earlier, I'm going to list those properties back with that agent. Does he want to sell me a deal that then he can't sell?
No.
He's already thinking ahead to, well, these are the deals I want you to get because when you fix them and I get them back, I'm going to sell these like that. Mm-hmm. That kind of symbiotic relationship, it's based on caring about the success of the other person. It is not based on the dollars and cents of the deal. If he's only worried about getting rid of his inventory, he doesn't need to talk to me.
Correct.
He's got 100 other guys calling him up.
Right.
And quite frankly, remember what I said. The first deals that you're going to get called on are the dog deals, the one he can't sell to guys like myself, the guys, his number one guys. Mm-hmm. We already said, hey, pass. So now he's got to go find somebody. This is a business that it's the easiest business in the world as far as I'm concerned, and that's why I call it the path of least resistance, because there aren't relationships in the world that work as easy as when you have two intelligent human beings that are willing to protect each other from a fall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care where you put it, whether you're in the military or whether you're talking about your spouse. You have relationships where here's the funny part, Bruce. I interrupt myself when I'm doing this because I really get fired up about this. As Americans, we have forgotten sometimes what that's about. That's what made our country great.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And I wasn't born here. I was born in Cuba. I came over when I was 4 years old. But, try to get me to go back to Cuba. I mean, I love Cuba. I love Cuban people, my family and stuff. But I love this country because it's based on those were the principles that really made us great.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back and you study history in any way, those were the relationships that you saw, when Benjamin Franklin wrote something. He wasn't writing it because he was thinking about, well, how many pennies am I going to get when I sell this? Or how many – he was thinking in terms of how many people am I helping with this?
Mm-hmm.
Without getting namby-pamby about it, those relationships and that love that you create between you and those people, that caring about their successes, is real. To what degree you decide to ignore that or embrace it will determine your successes over time and how well you hang on to that success. I have been both kinds of investors, and I've mentioned this to you before. My first part of my career, mm-hmm, in real estate was about the bottom line. Was about dollars and cents. I promptly lost it all because I was looking for the easiest way to, be on an island and get the checks coming in and all that kind of nonsense. The relationships I've forged since then have really, I've learned that is probably the easiest way for me to get wealthy. And I can't imagine that, you know, short of winning the lottery. But then again, you see, haven't you heard of people win the lottery and then within a few years they lose it all? You know,
they're the wrong person.
Yeah, yes. When I talk to these real estate agents nowadays, because they know I don't really need to do this anymore, they're concerned about, well, what are you into? What are you doing nowadays? You know, I'm developing, you know, I'm involved as an investor in commercial projects, which have been extremely, you know, successful for me. And my new goal, by the way, in case anyone's interested, you know, my new goal is since my first goal was $1 million and I got to $10 million in 10 years, my new goal is $100 million. Now, quite frankly, I don't ever care if I see that, but I got to have a goal, you know, and again, I got into these commercial projects as a result of relationships that I've built along the way that I would have never thought would deliver me to this.
Right.
And I'm now, you know, the amounts of financial success I'm experiencing from those investments is unbelievable.
What's interesting about the transition in the 90s to now is there's a lot of technology now.
Yeah.
So everyone has a website and you get emailed files and all that. Do you think the automation of the business will change who ends up with the properties ultimately, or do you think it goes right back to the connection between the people?
Well, I have a kind of a simple and unique perspective on this, I think, because I got to work in house for lenders years ago, and I saw every time we have a problem like what's happening, they always try to come up with some newfangled way of handling whatever the thing, whatever the problem is. And my opinion is that regardless of the computer age and the internet and everything else that's out there, it always comes down to human beings that are put in positions where, quite frankly, they can be fired. You can't fire a computer. You can't fire a website. You can close them, but you can't fire them. For some reason, people end up, you know, making decisions. They end up going back to what worked. What worked the last time was relationships, because people forge those relationships because it's based in trust. A computer knows historical data. I suppose you can find a way to inject, you know, trusting. I don't know how you do it based on performance. Well, we gave them so many deals, they closed so many deals, and they must be, you know, that's what's important. But I think regardless of what new system, a newfangled idea they come up with, it's going to come back to relationships. And even the guys that are in these positions, my top agent that I work with, he just went on vacation. By the way, he's staying up at my house up in Oregon on the river, which I was able to buy this house because of the money I made through them. So they, in essence, bought this for me, you know, and now they get the benefit of staying there themselves. I own a house up in Oregon right on the Rogue River in Grants Pass, which is my favorite place to be. I just also got, I got a chance this year to buy my ideal home. I always wanted to own a house that was on the ocean, facing the ocean, but on the mouth of a river. And I got to do that up in Northern California. And, you know, I mean, this is a wonderful life. I mean, I'm doing things right now, and I owe it, quite frankly, I owe it to these investors. I feel that I did...
These agents.
Agents. Yes, okay. Thank you. I did about 50% of the job, which was the performance side, and, you know, I did what I had to do. That's half of it. The other half was creating those business friendships, those are relationships. Relationship building in this part, in this segment of the real estate market that we're entering right now, in my opinion, is more important than anything else. It's more important than the cash you have in the bank, than your credit, more important than any of it. Relationship building is, if you're able to accomplish that, you'll probably have some windfall profits.
And automatic inventory.
Yeah, well, and as you mentioned, this past year, I was buying probate properties. I'm getting phone calls on two of them. I didn't even ever see the house until it was already sold again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, agents call me up saying, hey, why? Because the attorney who handles the majority of the probates in our town is his best friend. Trust him. He said to him, hey, we need to move these quickly. And he said, I know who to call.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to be thankful to him for him calling me on those things. I mean, I wasn't even calling him up.
Well, we're out of time, unfortunately, but I'm looking forward to, we're going to be promoting a joint seminar later this year, and we'll be, the subject of your topic will be the path of least resistance, how I went from bankruptcy to $10 million in 7 years just making friends. It's a very unique approach to the business, and I've enjoyed talking with you a lot.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure, Bruce. Right. You know I love you very much.
Thanks, Tony.
You've been listening to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com or email questions and or comments to radio@thenorrisgroup.com. We'll see you next week at 5:30 here on News Talk 590 KTIE.